So there's been a couple of significant changes for commuters and businesses and people on the island recently, with some changes being announced by Fullers around freight and fares. And joining me on the line to speak about those changes is Chief Executive Mike Horn. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Really good, thanks, Chris. Good to be on the show.
Yeah, so Mike, let's start off with the freight stuff, I suppose, because that was the change that first got announced. So some recent changes to the freight setup. So why don't you just tell us what the plan is? You know, what's going to happen from here on in?
Okay, we've been working through this for a wee while at this stage, and I guess underlying freight is the process that we have been running, which involves cages and trucks and lifting on and off boats and a number of other things. And we've really got to the point where we're unable to keep doing it in that way. It's been a fair amount of confusion in terms of Fullers removing freight, and that's not the intent. We've tried to look at the constraints that we've got and change the way that we deal with freight to really focus it more on perishables, fast-moving, smaller items, moving them backwards and forwards, and stuff that we can deal with handheld trolleys, as opposed to having to use cranes and trucks and driving through queues of people who are, you know, queuing up to get to and from the island.
So how much of this is to do with say, changes in wharf operation and Auckland Transport?
It's a bit of both, to be fair. There's no secret that there's a whole lot of work proposed down in the Ferry Basin, and with that will come quite a bit of disruption, especially with the lead up to the America's Cup, in terms of queues of people and how things move and what wharf design looks like. So Auckland Transport are rightly concerned about some of the current practices that we have in terms of how we move around. Really underlying this is internal work as well. So we've done some pretty substantial health and safety reviews, and we just can't hand on heart keep operating the same way that we do at the moment, understanding where that risk sits with both our crew and with passengers as well.
So, I mean, this change, I think many would perceive as indicative of maybe a shift in focus from Fullers, you know. So from a company that's there, you know, that's as well as bringing tourists, as it's servicing a community, and seeing this as much more of a shift towards that tourist end of the market. So some of those, you know, things that have been important for an island community, for island businesses, are kind of moving to one side, making room for more of those day trippers.
Yeah, look, honestly, I completely disagree with that. That's not the Fullers of focus at all. In fact, moving the way that we do freight will make no difference to what the tourist experience is, or the capacities that we run. This is all about how do we streamline a service and retain freight, and especially the fast-moving goods to and from the island. I mean, so much of the feedback has been, well, what does that now mean that I don't get my medical supplies, which I need? And that's, you know, that's been, from all the feedback I've got, probably one of the core things. And that's a completely separate thing. So we manage that through something that we call Safe Hands. It's not managed through freight at all. In actual fact, we'll be extending our after-hours ability to deal with that. So those sorts of things get enhanced as opposed to put to one side. And it's been really interesting and really important where we've been fully engaged with Auckland City Council, Auckland Transport, Panuku, a number of the big local government entities around what design looks like for the Ferry Basin, and the almost the sole voice has been, you know, from us, what does Waikiki need? What do islanders need? We actually have to retain freight, so how are we going to do it? And I think that's really been the focus.
So let's move on to the fare changes, and I'm sure you've had plenty of feedback on this. So the changes, we've got some quite significant increases there. So let's start off with that. What's the story behind the magnitude of this change?
Well, again, there's a range of things with this, but underlying all of this is that the cost base for these sorts of businesses, especially big asset businesses, over the last number of years, and obviously pretty publicly recently, has gone up and up and up. And we haven't had, from a monthly pass or a commuter perspective, any fare increases in just on 7 years at this point. So we've really reached the tipping point. We've been holding them down. We've actually got to do something at this point. The fare increases that we've put in don't come anywhere near the same percentage increase as what the cost base does. But we also understand there's a point with an increase you can get to before that reaches a tipping point as well. So we've really focused on what do we think we need to protect on the island, which is in our view really around families, children, students. We've kept that at no increase at all, and we've focused any increase we've got on the monthly pass or the commuter side of it.
I suppose, one of the things that people will look to is that, say those monthly pass charges were high and then dropped when Explore came on into competition. And now we're kind of going back past where they were before that dropping point. So that, that indicates is making some people feel, perhaps those were artificially high and that there's other factors here.
Yeah, so the price back then was $355. We're moving it to $365. So the starting point and then dropping down, if you look at that across that time, it represents something like a less than a 1% increase. Yes, competition comes and goes. If Explore was still in the market at this point, I guarantee that everybody would be putting their costs up at this point, because the cost base has moved so significantly. And for any business, whether it's a competitor business, for our business, or even local government, the cost pressures are what they are, and you have to be able to work with those. So it's sort of irrelevant where they've been over time, but the bottom line is they just haven't been increased in 7 years, and we actually have to do something about that now.
And the increases in cost in the cafes as well, that's of a fairly significant magnitude.
The cafe costs and prices are moving all the time. It's a straightforward food and beverage offering. It works in the same way as, restaurants or bars or any other food and beverage offering. So in some cases you'll see prices going up on particular items. You'll be seeing changes in what the stock is and what we're offering. It's actually a new range of food, including toast and sandwiches, that went on vessels yesterday or today, I believe. So that's a constantly changing thing. In other areas, some of the costs will be dropping down as well. So I wouldn't tie those two things together. They're quite separate in how they work and how we price them and how we manage them.
Right, yeah, but perhaps not so much for the traveller. So let's have a look at, you mentioned before, America's Cup. The experience, or perhaps not the experience, but the perception of people over the last few summers has been that there's, that at times there's pressure and the service can struggle to get everyone where they need to go. What are you doing or to anticipate the impact of America's Cup on the service?
Yeah, I mean, you had a really good point. America's Cup, on the one hand, I think is a fantastic thing for New Zealand, and I'm pretty excited about it myself. On the other hand, there are some major challenges to not just to and from Waiheke, but certainly how a lot of the other on-water ferry services are going to be operated through that time. A lot of the racing will be happening sort of on the key routes to Waiheke, Gulf Harbour, Half Moon Bay. So we're trying to engage with a lot of different interest groups at the moment around what that looks like. You probably know, or you might not know, that there's a submission in at the moment around the dolphins that are going in off the end of Queen's Wharf, and that's to help facilitate cruise ships. The downside of that, in our opinion, is that that's actually going to start to affect the trip times as well, especially around congestion in the ferry basin, and the fact we've got to go bit further. So we're currently working at the moment in terms of what does that look like, is that a good idea, and are there different alternatives for cruise ships so that they don't need to stick so far out into the harbour. And those are big challenges. The big challenges because America's Cup is actually really important for Auckland, and the cruise ship industry is also really important for Auckland. So there's all these competing uses at the moment, and I guess we'd say we're sort of stuck right in the middle of that. The other part is really around the ferry basin design and the work that happens up to and around America's Cup. And a lot of that's around people movements on the wharves as well. So look, there's a whole mix of things in there. In the short to medium term, I think it's all about the locals' lanes and how we get regular islanders to and from as a priority in and amongst those crowds. And that's something else that we trialled last year. We're kicking off again today, which is good. In fact, Labour weekend is a good test. It's a beautiful day out there, and there's some really big numbers moving over as I speak, looking down at the wall for this stage.
So, yeah, I mean, the locals lane, I think, is a welcome addition. I mean, I suppose an observation, having used that yesterday, is perhaps the staffing of it is the question, isn't it? You know, about ensuring that people actually know where they're going and are getting some direction, as well as the ribbons being up there.
Yeah, so the wharf hosts start today, and so they kick off from Labour weekend itself. And so if you're travelling today, you'll see staffing down there who are doing exactly that. One of the things we might look at is we had it designed to go from Labour weekend, which is usually where it picks up from. Actually, the last three weekends, with the weather being just so good, it's picked up a lot earlier this year, so we might need to move it forward a bit next year when we get to that as well.
Yeah.
But there's quite a bit more around what times are available, how they're managed. And as we did last year as well, if we're finding that there are different hotspots we're not aware of, then we're just going to have to manage those as well and extend what we do.
So just on that, I mean, one of the features that hasn't been utilised for a couple of years now is the upper ramp and taking people on and off that boat. All those boats are able to be accessed at two levels. There's a ramp there. Why isn't that ramp being used?
So that ramp's been rebuilt. The infrastructure on the wharves is not ours. It's obviously AT's. And the one that's been rebuilt there really, really doesn't serve the purpose it needs to. We started off with it, and it doesn't work, to be fair. It doesn't work around the safety of how we use it. And so in any new design around wharf structure, we've been really clear that our preferences is that there's upper and lower loading so that you can move more people more quickly. We've tried this one on this end a couple more times this year, and it doesn't actually fit all the boats either, so it's very, very haphazard in terms of how it can be used. It would be better probably if we tore that down and built a new one.
Right. So the new boats, I mean, we've got, you've got this new fleet of boats in there, the three boats in operation doing most of the runs now. So having, operated those for a while, are you happy with how they're working? Are they fit for purpose?
Yeah, they are. And that's where we've put a heap of investment, as you know, over the last sort of 3 years. And that's where our investment needs to keep going as well. We've got a couple of big, well-known 650 capacity boats. Quick Cat, I think most people know, is actually for sale at this stage. I mean, she's plus 30 years, and it's getting pretty hard to keep her going reliably, although when she does a great job. And we've got Superflight, which is the other big one. it's probably 6 weeks overdue for having it back on the run at the moment, because again we've got some fundamental issues with old boats that we're trying to work through. So I'd like to say we'll see, you know, another set of new boats coming in to replace what we've got, and they'd be very similar in design to the last three that we've done. So that's sort of where my headspace is with that stuff.
So those new boats, I mean, one of the things that we're seeing, you know, across the city is an uptake of things, you know, cycling, electric bicycles, and so on. That seems to be a problem on those new boats.
Any more than the old boats?
Isn't the space there, really, is there?
Yeah, that's not feedback that we'd had in that way, but really happy to take that on board. I guess one of the things I should talk about is on that sort of size boat, 400 boat, we have some design for some bigger jet boats. So you see Cap Surfer coming out to the island from time to time, and she also does Devonport on a regular basis. So some of the design of the new boat with something of that size would be a lot more flexible, flat floor space that you can then flip over and have seats, or you can flip over and have bike racks. So that starts to take the sorts of things you're talking about and look at it in a completely different way. It's also the same time to start looking at where the technology is around electric and what's practical and what's not. And at the moment for Waiheke, because we need to run up to 30 knots with quite big loads on board, the technology for electric's not really there yet. It's a lot closer for much shorter hop, slower speed things in and around the city at the moment. But the technology is moving so quickly that, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time, that could be viable for the island, and then you need to work out, are you then able to retrofit that into any new boats that we build? And I think that's probably the key for us as well.
So, I mean, you've talked about, just to finish up, Mike, you know, you've talked about the America's Cup, which I suppose is a kind of akin to running a Grand Prix on the Southern Motorway, really, isn't it? And, you've also talked about some of the challenges, you know, operating, you know, through Auckland Transport and that wharf operation. What are the, and obviously, you know, we've got passenger numbers and the pressure from that. Well, I mean, are there other challenges that Fuller's are facing down at the moment?
There's a range of things. Not probably necessarily to get into on this particular call. Certainly congestion on the water. Certainly the way that ferries don't have right-of-way, and there are lots of speed restrictions out there. If I was to jump on Sydney Harbour, for example, your ferries do have right-of-way, and your recreational boaties all have to have a certain level of licence to operate as well. So there's a whole lot of that as we build up over the next couple of years to America's Cup, which I think we need to be looking at pretty hard as well. How do we, you know, apart from the wharves, how do we actually operate on the water, and how do we create the channels within that to allow a ferry network, regardless of being Waiheke or not, to actually keep having the resilience to run really well and really efficiently. About the only other thing would be, I'm talking about resilience, is an ability to have your vessel serviced and pulled out of the water in Auckland. And we had, propeller came off a boat last month, and it's a 2.5 hour fix if you get her out of the water. There's nowhere to get her out down here, so we tugged her to Whangarei, and that whole process took 2.5 weeks. Now that's a big boat to take out of the network for 2.5 weeks where you don't need to, and so much of the water space has so many competing priorities down here, whether it be cruise ship or super yacht or America's Cup, or potentially a new stadium sunk into the front down here somewhere, which I was hearing about the other day. That whole overview and management of the water space, and then an understanding that all of these things are end-to-end, so what does that then mean at the tier tier, is something that still isn't really well coordinated and planned in any sort of sensible way at this point.
All right. So sounds like, yeah, some challenges ahead. But, well, thank you very much for joining us, Mike. And, you know, I know that there's been, I'm sure you're getting a fair bit of flack and you know, kind of negative response to the fare increases. It's certainly hit people, I think, you know, hard. But, you know, thanks for fronting up and talking us through it.
Not at all. And, look, I'm really happy to front this because I feel pretty passionately about it.
All right. Cheers. Thanks very much, Mike Horn, CEO of Fullers.